recording here, so we had everything. All right, so sorry about that, guys. I don't know what was going on. I think I lost a few people because they couldn't hear me. I don't know why that happens. Sometimes it does.
I think you transformed into a demon robot.
Ah, that's normal. I think that's pretty normal. okay, well, I'm going to continue. This is going to be a relatively short call for today. I'm going to elaborate and let a lot of guys ask a lot more questions later on. I have some questions already in now, so I'm going to jump on those in a bit here. Just to sort of go over this process real quick and just sort of recap on what you may have missed if you couldn't hear me. The main focus of keeping woman attracted after sex is about switching between stages, meaning going from attraction to rapport, rapport to seduction, and seduction back to rapport, and seduction to attraction, and sort of going back and forth like that. Attraction is your default stage almost always. Sort of lighthearted and fun and playful, especially whenever you're in public. But whenever rapport is necessary, meaning whenever rapport seems to be happening already, you have to embrace it and not sort of banter your way out of it. Rapport is the glue that holds a relationship together. So what I mentioned a minute ago is that anger is how a lot of seduction comes across to men. So men will sort of get into a relationship with a woman and replace the seductive part of their personality with anger and sort of fiery anger and passion. So passion and anger obviously are very, very closely related. What you want to do is have a healthy form of passion. And when you do show your anger, you have to make sure that you're not directing it at the person that you're dating. Instead, it's at something completely outside of that and outside, maybe an idea, or maybe you don't want to be mad at yourself either, but you do want to make sure that you pinpoint exactly what is frustrating you and not blame your partner for that. So sort of a process that you go through in order to keep someone attracted over time is going to be very holistic. It's not a lot of things that a lot of guys really get to grasp in their studies, because they never really get to the point where they focus on this. Like I said before, a lot of guys are super interested in the beginning stages. Then they get a girlfriend and they think, well, there's no system for this, so it doesn't really matter, right? But that's not true. There is a system for it, and you have to follow a few very simple steps and you can keep your relationship going. Otherwise, you're going to have serious, serious heartbreak, and you'll be cheated on. You'll be left alone. You will be regretting, doing things that you regret, not just doing them, but also experiencing regret with the person that you're currently with. You'll feel helpless. It's a really scary thing to experience, the feeling like you can't, no matter what you do, you can't get something right. And you can't keep this woman interested and attracted. And it's sort of falling apart in front of you, right in front of your eyes. So I'm going to go over a few of those things. One of the major reasons why we end up messing up relationships is something called gender role reversal, which is what I sort of alluded to right before I turned into a demon robot, apparently. which is okay. Apparently, I have a serious issue around gender role reversal. So gender role reversal is sort of a phenomenon that happens when you're in a relationship and there is a miscommunication between the woman and the man. Now, the miscommunication is around one specific thing, and that is most guys think, because most guys' goals are to have sex. Right, that's just what most guys want. We want to have sex. We want to like get in there and just get laid, and then after that, we're like, okay, well, you know, it's not a big deal anymore. I've got what I wanted. It's all cool. If I'm sticking around, it's like it's a good thing, and I really like this girl. She's cool. You know, it's just that initial sex that we really want more than anything. So whenever we get in, what we tend to think is that once we have had sex with a girl, that we've conquered. And we're done, right? That work is pretty much over. We don't have to worry about that anymore. And nothing could be farther from the truth. Actually, nothing could be further from the truth, to be technically right. what ends up happening is women are not in this just for the sex. They're in it for something a little bit more long term. Now, the reason why that's important is because women do not stop testing you when you're in a relationship with them. They don't stop. They continue. They continue until they are 100% certain that you are the kind of man that they can relax around, that they can sort of let, quote unquote, drive the boat, you know, who they can let take charge of the relationship and make sure that, you know, everything's in control. So you bring sort of a long-term, logical and solid, emotionally solid, but very logical standpoint to this relationship and to the interaction. and you become a sort of a team with each other, where one person is, you know, she typically is expressing her emotions and connecting, and she gets to cry if she wants to. She gets to freak out every once in a while. She also gets to experience this sort of amazing joy that you will experience, but you won't let sort of steer everything in your life. So there's sort of two different parts of your brain you have to sort of separate. One is the part that feels joy, and the other one is the part that makes decisions. Now, these two parts should not be the same part of your brain. If there's one person, the same person that is feeling joy is the person who's making decisions. By person, I mean the different personality in your mind. Like we have different parts of your personality. The same part of your personality that is feeling, expressing joy and powerful positive emotions, and even fear and negative emotions, is the part that is making decisions. You're screwed. And the reason why is because that's your emotional brain. And your emotional brain is not interested in your long-term development or your long-term growth or even your long-term success. Your emotional brain is interested only in your short-term success. And because of that, a lot of guys get into this. They get into sort of like serious, hopeless romantic relationships, and they have these amazing connections with these girls that are just awesome and, you know, just like nothing that they've ever experienced in their entire lives. And what ends up happening is they don't bring the logical part of the relationship anymore, and they let their emotions start to make decisions because it feels so good to feel, and it's so scary to stop it. You know, they think that if I all of a sudden quit this this process and I quit feeling good and quit this focus on the positive emotions, that she's going to leave and I won't be able to do this anymore. And that fear is what ends up ending the relationship. So, gender role reversal is what happens as a result of men not recognizing that women are still testing. So, when we get past it, what we tend to do is become very focused on what we believe we deserve. Sort of feeling like we deserve to not have to worry about trying anymore. To sort of feel like we are accepted already, and we can sort of sit down and watch a football game and not be bothered, that kind of stuff. And what ends up happening is we don't connect with the women that we're with. Instead, we're just roommates with them that sleep with each other every once in a while that don't really understand each other. Now, what's going to happen is that beginning sort of whirlwind of a romance and relationship in the beginning, the stuff that you were doing before you hooked up with her, she is attracted to that stuff. So if you're not doing that stuff, the next guy who comes along who is doing that stuff with her is going to make her feel like a woman, and you're not going to make her feel like that. So she's either going to cheat on you or leave you, or, you know, you never know. You may never know. Actually, you may never find out. She may have done that to you. You may have a girlfriend in the past that has done that to you because you haven't been paying attention to this. The only, and you may never know that, and hopefully you never will know that, actually, because that's just painful and unnecessary. But either way, you have to be able to recognize the balance in a relationship. And the way to do that is to recognize these tests as they're happening and not blame the person that you're with. So gender role reversal, like I said, happens whenever you're being tested and you don't realize it. The same kinds of tests are still happening, but typically these tests are away from sort of the congruence test area. Congruence tests, again, are like when a woman's not sure if you're actually confident, she'll test you to see if you are really confident or if you're faking it. And the way that looks is like an insult. So she'll sort of insult you randomly and see how you react to it. You know, if you're getting insults randomly in a relationship, then you have something else deeper going on, and which is obviously not good. So I'll talk about that in a little bit here if we have time. But first, how to recognize and destroy this gender role reversal, and how to pass these tests every time is really what I want to talk about. So at some point, you are going to be in an interaction or in a relationship with a woman, and she will be giving you the other kinds of tests. The other two kinds of tests are compliance tests and gender role tests. Now, gender role reversal happens because of either compliance or gender role test, so it can happen either way. A compliance test, again, is a power struggle, essentially. It's any kind of a statement where the woman that you're dating all of a sudden begins to be very bossy, tries to get you to do stuff for no reason, like hand me that remote or stay here while I go over here, or starts to sort of tell you what to do in the interaction. Now, there is an off chance that that the woman you're dating really wants to be the dominant person in the relationship. But it's, and most women might will actually say that they want to be, but the truth is they don't want to be. Most women do not want to be, and this is most women, and I mean like probably 95 out of 100 women do not want to be that leader in the interaction. Now, the remaining 5% of women, yeah, they may want to do that, but they're probably not going to be attracted to you if you want to be dominant. You know, that's kind of how it is. So you have to make sure that you stand your ground, and that's what a lot of being in relationships about, standing your ground and knowing ahead of time how you feel about something and what you're willing to sacrifice and what you're not willing to sacrifice in a relationship. Now, the first thing you want to do whenever you are recognizing these gender role, this gender role reversal and these tests that you're kind of coming up on, is you want to see them happening as they're happening. Because when you do that, you stop blaming the person for testing you. You really need to recognize as well, and this really changed my perspective on things a lot, whenever I finally recognized that, look, these tests aren't because she's being mean or doesn't care about you or she's trying to get back at you. These tests are because she honestly doesn't know if you are ready to take charge, because you're probably taking a back seat for whatever reason. So she feels like she needs to step up and take charge, and she doesn't want to do that, so she's a little bit aggravated. So she's trying to get power from you, and she's trying to get control over the relationship. And she's trying to see if you're going to back down and step back into a backseat in this relationship. And if you do, you sort of pass, you sort of fail the test, rather. And if you don't, and you sort of stand your ground, and in the face of, you know, the fear of being in an argument and the fear of her being angry and leaving, you stand your ground anyway, then you actually win. So it's kind of counterintuitive. A lot of guys, including myself for most of my life, would get into a relationship, and I would, I'd hear these tests like, oh, we're going to this place tonight, you know? And I would be like, okay, well, I'm working, but I can see if I can get off work or something. You know, that would be my thing, because I'm thinking like my parents told me, which is like, oh, you know, make sure that she feels special, and make sure you take care of her, make sure, you know, you do, you make her happy, and you work with her and stuff, and, you know, that kind of stuff. It's like stuff we've been kind of crammed in our heads our whole life. Like, we're thinking, oh, I got to be this not really nice guy who's, like, always supplicating, who's always, like, making sure that she's okay and checking in with her and being the gentleman, you know? And I have this idea in my head of the gentleman as somebody who, like, holds the umbrella, holds the door, pulls the chair out, pushes the chair in, you know? And then I didn't think about the other side of this process. The other side was orders for her, you know? Orders her food. That part of the gentleman process is very, very important. I'm not saying it's important to order the woman that you're dating, order her food. But if you're going to be a gentleman, you'll notice that the sort of archetype of being a gentleman that women are attracted to is dominant but polite. You know, and that's really what guys screw up, including myself, including what I screwed up, is that I looked at it like it was polite but not dominant. I didn't see that dominant part, you know. And that part was very, very important. So what I ended up doing was going, okay, well, I'll do whatever you want, and just sort of appeasing everything that she wanted. And eventually she started, the girls that I was dating that I did that with started sort of emotionally abusing me in the relationship, like yelling at me or being mean to me. This was obviously years and years ago. And before I knew any of this stuff and before I really understood that I had options in the first place. And this is what happens to a lot of guys. They get into a relationship where they can't, they just can't push forward. You know, they can't recognize the difference of or difference between a test and something that the girl they're dating genuinely wants, you know. And I guess that at the end of the day, it comes down to you being able to see that while it's happening. So anytime you have, again, compliance, anytime you have a compliance test in your relationship, once you've already had sex, this is a gender role test, or a beginning of gender role reversal. If you miss this compliance test, if you miss her trying to get you to do stuff without any real reason, like hand me that pencil when she can literally just reach over and grab it, if you miss that test, then and you just grab it for her and without thinking, and you do it too many times in a row, she'll lose respect for you. You ever heard of the Brad? I'll ask you this, because you're on the you know, I can talk to you. But have you ever heard of the yes, dear sort of mentality before?
I've heard of the sitcom.
Oh, is there a sitcom called Yes, Dear?
Yeah.
That's sad. yes, dear mentality is like whenever a guy goes, when gender role reversal gets so far down the road and so far past, almost beyond repair, that the men have become just a series of yes, dears. Like their statements are just a series of, okay, honey, whatever you want, honey. Yes, dear, right? And this is actually, this is not the beginning of the end. This is the end of the end of the relationship. Usually the stage right after this is a divorce or a breakup. Because women, guys are saying yes, dear, to take away power from a woman. But it's not a direct power grab. It's a manipulative power grab. So women then feel that there's absolutely no way whatsoever that you are going to be taking charge over this relationship. And so they end up leaving or cheating or whatever. And that's obviously bad. Hang on, let me just look. I got a couple more statements. Cool. Okay, it looks like the audio is better for everybody. Okay, cool. Just want to make sure I stay on top of these questions. I have a couple questions to get into in about 5 minutes here. So I'll just sort of keep going here and then we'll get into it. I've got a lot of stuff to cover over these next few calls. But one of the main things I want to talk about today again was gender role reversal. So if you can recognize gender role reversal before it happens or as it's happening in the very beginning, then you have a chance to save your relationship and make sure that she's still attracted to you. If you don't, you'll lose the interest of every woman that you attract. You'll be sort of chasing new women all the time because you won't be able to keep any one woman interested in you. And this can be really, really detrimental to your confidence over time. A few things I want to bring up. Brad, if you have any questions at all as well, obviously let me know during this process. Okay. I'm going to go over the four different stages or elements of relationship balance in a moment. They are compliance, power, value, and neediness. And I'll tell you how they work together. And then I'm going to go into questions and get those questions answered for today's founding members call. The things I'm going to go over the next couple of calls, though, I want you to know this because this is really important. I'm going to go over, again, I'm going to cover the waterfall, which is the polyamory technique that I teach that sort of gets you to the point where you're not trying to approach women anymore. Women are just kind of being dumped in your lap, which is a really awesome situation. The consummate love triangle, which is a way to tell whether or not a woman is actually going to be long-term or that you should be exclusive with her or that you should be polyamorous. So you can use this sort of system when you meet a woman to tell whether or not you should be polyamorous and only date her, on the side sort of with other women too, in an ethical way, obviously, or you should actually drop everyone that you've met and just date this one girl. It's a really difficult thing to figure out, but if you have this system, it can be very simple. The mistake of getting this wrong once though can ruin your life and ruin someone else's life too. I'm going to go into how personality types affect your relationship, meaning Myers-Briggs specifically, and how to figure out yours and the person that you're dating's personality type and what sort of pitfalls you'll run into. I'm going to go into the role that oxytocin plays in your relationship long term. Of course, that is it's the chemical that's released whenever a woman is reaching orgasm. It releases a chemical called oxytocin, and oxytocin is what's known as the love drug, and it draws her closer during that process. So it's very important that you make her come, essentially, in your relationship. If you can't make her come, you're missing out on a very, very, very large part of a relationship and a connection with a woman. I want to go over how to keep from being cheated on and sort of the truth behind cheating in the first place. What happens if you're drawn to cheat? What happens if you have cheated? What happens if you have been cheated on, and how to sort of handle that process. How to keep from constantly chasing the next girl. I'm going to go into that, obviously, in the next, not in this call, but in probably the next or the next one after that. How to properly handle confrontation. How to give ultimatums in a way that doesn't sound needy or desperate, that will actually help your relationship. I'm going to go over a bit about sex. I already covered that thing, so I'm going to get rid of that. A little bit about boundaries. My 30-day formula, which is how to keep your exclusive relationship together forever using something very simple called my 30-day formula. It's a really simple process to go through. You just have to talk to her about something, and you will sort of get rid of 95% of the little things that would cause you to break up. And then finally, and this is something that I want to go over, if I can't get to this in the next call, which will be next week, I'll get to this in the final call, and that is what's called the 6 rules of long-term attraction. This is a really powerful concept. I believe I go over it briefly in The Tao of Badass, and it's something that I compiled from years and years and years of psychology study that has allowed me to really see a lot more than I was able to before, and also to be able to control a lot of the elements of a relationship and interaction that I didn't think were even possible to control. So I definitely want to cover those things. So why don't I go right into the relationship balance real quick, and then I'll hop on to answer a few of these questions that we have. If you do have any questions, this is great. Phil has got to be the funniest guy who writes. He just writes me such fun. I can't tell you guys half the stuff that Phil writes me. He just wrote, "Babies sucking on her nipples releases oxytocin too." So you've got that going for you. If you have the ability to make that happen, I'm not sure if you should have kids just so you can release oxytocin, but you know, that's a way to think about it. That's good. That's pretty funny, Phil. But anyway, so relationship balance. Relationship balance is all about 4 different areas: compliance, power, value, and neediness. And it's not what we think it is. It's not. It's almost always sort of hidden from us what the source of an actual conflict is. Have you ever been into an argument with someone that you've been dating and you wanted to sort of clean up that argument? One of the hardest things that as men we try to do, that we really screw up mostly, hardest things for us, is figuring out the source of where all this came from. You know, the woman that we're dating is angry, and we're just like, what? Why? You know, why are you mad in the first place? I don't understand, right? And that's sort of the big disconnect for a lot of guys. I just don't get it. And a lot of women will break up with a guy, and the last thing they'll say is, "You just don't understand me," right? I just feel like you don't get me. And the reason why that happens is because we don't take the time to truly look and see. It's not that we don't take the time. It's that we don't know how to look and see what's causing all this crap in the first place. You know, look and see what's actually making her upset in the first place. Now, the reason why we don't know that is because women think about the stuff completely differently than we do. And so we just assume that women are thinking the same way that we are. Women are not thinking the same way that we are. If you haven't found this already, if you haven't sort of stumbled upon this realization yet, women are like completely different animals, though they want the exact same thing that we do. They want sex. They want connection. They want, they want to feel needed. They want to feel wanted and desired. And they want to feel like very, very special, like they're the most important thing in the world. So do we as guys. It's exactly what we want. We want to feel like, you know, like we're being worshipped by the woman that we're with, you know, like she just loves us. And, you know, most guys want, you know, to be honest, most guys want women to worship their cocks, and most women want guys to worship their bodies, which is a really important distinction there. If you are with a woman and you've been worshiping her genitalia, which is a great way of saying pussy, then you're doing it wrong. You really have to worship her entire body. Women respond a lot more positively to that kind of worship. And we respond a lot more positive to women just worshiping our cocks. You know, we don't really care about our bodies being that amazing. We just want women to be like, oh my God, I need it, you know? And if every woman in the world knew that, then the world would be a much better place, I think. So let's get into these 4 different areas: compliance, power, value, and neediness. And if you're taking notes, make sure you write these words down. Compliance is your priorities. So compliance is from earlier I was talking about compliance tests. These are different tests, essentially, the things that we do to each other, not just women to men, but men do it to other men and to women as well all the time to establish power and dominance. And what we're doing is we're trying to figure out who's willing to put our priorities above theirs, even for no reason. Like if you're, you know, standing in the middle of the street, or if you're laying in the middle of the street and you hurt your ankle in a truck is coming, or a train is coming, you know, and I have something to do, I will drop my priorities at that moment and put your priority to live above my priority to get to work on time, right? That's a really common process. A lot of people would step out of the way and help, you know, and do that. But this is for no reason at all, meaning I'm sitting here at a table. I'm completely within reaching distance of what I want. And maybe it's a piece of paper sitting on the table. And then I ask the person next to me to hand me the piece of paper. And as if they're going to do it for me without questioning. This is me testing whether or not their priorities are above mine or mine are above theirs in their mind, right? And that's what women are doing with compliance tests. They're trying to see where your priorities are, you know? And what you would think is that a woman would want your priorities to be below hers, meaning you put her priorities above yours. But that's not the case. That's a big misconception. And most guys get this wrong. They start to look at compliance and they think that compliance is all about appealing or appeasing to the woman, like just going, what do you want? You know, whatever you want, I'll give it to you. There you go. You got it, right? Just to show that your priorities are above mine. But that's not the case. Women want to know that you have a good sense about what a good priority is. If your priority for the family, let's say that she has a family with you, and you have to choose between being accepted by someone at work, maybe one of your higher ups at work, and spending time with your family or providing for your family, meaning that you would rather get be accepted by the person that works above you than get paid more, then in order to help them survive better and get rid of the sort of essential survival worries of the family, then your priorities are out of place, and she can't trust you to lead the relationship, and that can be a major problem. So what you want to do instead is recognize where you want her priorities to be in your mind. So you have two ways of looking at this. This relationship balance scale, you want to make sure that you understand where the person that you're dating is on this scale. And you can sort of write this out, and I'll explain how to do that. You can have them go through the process and find the answer. You want to understand where their head's at, and you want to know where your head is at as well. What I would suggest you do, especially if you're single now, is take a piece of paper out right now if you don't already have one, and get a pen or a pencil, and I want you to draw just four horizontal lines about 7 inches or 6 inches wide across your page. One at the top, and then underneath it another one, sort of like give a little bit of space, maybe a few inches between each line. And I want you to write on one end, on the left side, I want you to put a minus sign, so just a little line, a minus sign. On the right side, I want you to put a plus sign. So what we're going to do here, I want you to do that on each one of these different lines, and I want you to do it four times. You know, the top line is going to be your compliance line. The second line is going to be your power line. The third line is going to be your value line. And the fourth line is going to be your neediness line. Now, if you don't have a piece of paper right now and you're struggling to find one, or in a situation where you can't write this down, don't worry. Go back and listen to this part of the call later on and do this exercise, because it will make so clear in your head exactly what you want in a woman. And this is very, very important. A lot of guys skip this sort of thing. A lot of women skip this too, and they don't know what they want. That's really unattractive. So we're going to go through this process right now and figure out what you want for yourself and what you want for the woman that you're with. We're going to do you first, right? So I want you to think first on the compliance line. You're going to put an X somewhere on this line. And really where you put it is kind of arbitrary at this moment, because it's only going to be important in relation to the woman that you're dating as well. So just think about this to the best you can. And if you don't know the answer, just guess and get a pretty close estimation. And then when I go through what you do for your ideal woman, it'll become clear why I'm doing this in the first place. So I want you to put an X on that line. The left-hand side meaning that you want your priorities to be completely below the person that you're with. And then to the right-hand side, that means that you want your priorities to be above the person that you're with, right? So this means that, do you want your, what you need and what you want and your priorities in your life to be sort of important, more important than the person that you're with for the both of you? Meaning that she thinks that your priorities are more important, or she thinks that her priorities are more important, right? Which one do you want? If you want a woman who thinks that her priorities are more important than yours, put your X a little bit on the left-hand side of that line and just sort of measure it out as far as you think. Like, if you really would like to be walked all over completely and just like never have any kind of power whatsoever or any kind of a priorities above anything whatsoever, then you want to put that X all the way to the left. If you want to be completely egotistical and non-bending and have your priorities sort of like a hesitant way, I guess, a really negative way, have your priorities so far above anyone else's that you don't even think that they exist, then put the X on the right-hand side. So put that X somewhere on that line, either on the left or on the right-hand side. And I'll let you sort of think about that for a second and do that. Okay, so once you're done with that, step down to the second line. You're going to do the same thing for power. Power is leadership in the relationship, leadership between the two of you. If you want to be the one making the decisions, then I want you to put the X somewhere on the right-hand side. If you want her to be the one making the decisions and you want to take a back seat to that, then I want you to put your X somewhere on the left side. Now, I want to be very clear. It seems as though most guys would put that X on the right-hand side. But if you feel honestly that you don't want that, put it wherever you want, because this is really important that you accept what you actually want for yourself. If there are some guys that don't want to be the dominant man. Now, I'm assuming that most guys in this call, if not 100% of the guys in this call, do want to be the dominant man, which is why they're here in the first place. You know, I teach a lot about dominant body language, and that's because 99% of guys want to be that dominant male figure. They want to be that guy. So if you are that guy, then awesome. Go ahead and put it there. If not, no big deal. I don't want to let you know, though, that it's not wrong. It's really important that you understand that. So you're going to put that somewhere on there as well. So decision making, are you making most of the decisions or do you want her to make most of the decisions in the relationship? Absolutely okay for you to go either way on that one. Next is the value line. The value line is how much other people need you outside the relationship. So this means that if your value line is really high, I'd say it's on the plus side, on the right-hand side of that line, then that means that a lot of people need you, need to go through you, like you're higher up in a firm or a company, or you're semi-famous, or you know, whatever it is. Lots of people need to go through you, and lots of other people talk to you and sort of respect you in that area. Or the other side, which is that you feel like you don't really need a lot of people to go through, you don't really want a lot of people to go through you in your relationship, outside of your relationship, rather. So in your everyday life, you don't want people to come to you for advice, that kind of thing, and need to go through you to make decisions. That sort of feeling of value outside the relationship, for some guys it's very, very important. For some guys it's not very important. And then neediness. Neediness is not a bad word in a relationship. It's a really bad word during attraction, but not very bad, and actually a very good thing and necessary thing in a relationship, especially for relationship balance. Now, neediness is, brain fart. Neediness is your investment, what you are investing into the relationship. If you want to have, yourself more invested than her, then you want to put your ex to the right hand side of that line. If you want her to be more invested than you, then you want to put that ex on the left hand side. Now, whenever you get this sort of readout, you should have most guys are have something like a hockey stick. You know, you'll have mostly to the somewhere not all the way to the right, but somewhere sort of toward the center, but a little bit to the right on the compliance scale. You'll have pretty far extreme on the, you know, to the right on the power scale. You'll have equal, usually, on the right for the value scale. And then you'll have swing over on the left-hand side for the neediness scale. Most guys will have this. If you have something other than that, that's completely okay. That's not weird at all. It's just that it's just outside of what most guys experience, which is completely fine. So you want to look at this and you want to understand that this is you. This is your desire for your perfect relationship, for you, how you interact with your woman, right? Now what I'm going to do is I want you to go through and I want you to mark down a circle on the line where you would like the woman that you're, your ideal woman to be that you're dating. Now think about this, because a lot of guys will get into this and they'll go, well, I want her to be completely submissive. I want her to have no power. I want her to have absolutely no value. And I want her to be extremely needy. The truth is, most guys don't want that. I mean, if you think that's the case, then I want you to make sure that whenever you do get that, you evaluate it and see that's actually what you want. If it is what you want, then awesome. You know, then you've done a good job. If not, though, you need to reevaluate this and really be honest with yourself, which is why it's so important that you're purely honest. Like, I don't want to, like, the truth is, I found this out after dating hundreds of women. I don't want a woman who is extremely, extremely compliant. I don't want a woman who puts my priorities always above hers, you know, like 100% of the time. I want a woman who's got some sort of power, you know, some sort of idea of where her priorities should be, you know. And that I had to realize over time. So I want you to think about that as well and just really imagine the ideal woman. Let's start with the compliance one. Go on the compliance line and put in relation to where you are, where would you like the woman, your ideal woman to be? On this compliance line, I want you to put a circle where you want her to be. So I'll give you a second to do that. All right. So next we're going to go to power. Again, power is decision making. So now you're going to look at this and you're going to think, okay, in relation to where I am, how much of the decision making do I want my ideal woman to do? Because there are going to be times in which you're not going to want to make decisions to do. That's kind of how it is, you know. You're going to be like, she's going to go, hey, I'm doing something for you for your birthday. Just show up here and, you know, wear this, right? And you're going to go, okay, that's kind of fun, you know. And that's kind of exciting. And you're going to want that. You're going to want that sort of leadership for her to take the leadership. So you probably are not going to want a woman who's completely powerless and subservient in your relationship. I thought that maybe I did for a long time and then I experienced that and I didn't like it. You know, so the truth is that I don't like that. But that's just me. You know, if you like it, then go ahead, put it down. So you want to put a circle wherever you want her to be on that map there. Value, I want you to do the same thing now. So you're going to go through that. How much do you want other people to need her in your relationship? A lot of guys are attracted to women who a lot of people have to go through, meaning celebrities or really mostly it's like celebrities, dancers, things like that, people who are revered and wanted by a lot of people. But then when they get these women, they freak out and they get really jealous because these women's value is above their own. And so they feel powerless and they feel unworthy, essentially, in the relationship. And they end up self-sabotaging everything. So what you want to do is figure out where you want, you know, where that value, when that value scale you want her, and you want to put a circle. Now, this is a rough estimate, of course. If it's anywhere near this, then you're probably pretty good, like pretty close. And then finally, do neediness. You know, how needy do you want the girl that you're dating to be in comparison to you? How invested do you want her to be in the relationship compared to you? Most guys will put this, I don't want to say where most guys will put it because I don't want to influence what you put down. So put it wherever you want to. And then I'm going to talk to you a little bit about how these things interact with each other and how you can use this to keep your relationship together. And then I'm going to answer a couple of questions and then we'll be done for today. And we'll be ready for next week's call, which I'll go into a lot more detail, a lot more amazing concepts sort of wrapped around this this idea of relationship balance and keeping a woman interested in you over a long, long period of time. So once you have that, I want you to look at this sheet and I want you to remember this. And I really want you to either, if you have a phone that has a camera, take a picture of this piece of paper right now. Get a picture of it. And have it on your phone so you have a digital copy. Email it to yourself so you have it in your inbox. Save this piece of paper. If you don't save this piece of paper, later on you're going to wonder what you had written down. You probably won't go through the process of actually doing this again. Because though that was very simple, it's very difficult to do when someone's not forcing you to do it. This is something that I had tried to get guys to do in the Dial Badass. Of course, almost no one does it because, again, by the time you get a girl, you sort of stop reading the Dial of Badass because you're like, oh, I got this all figured out. A lot of guys think that. And then when something screws up, they come back again and they sort of take the next level. So I'd rather that you understand where to go with this early on and you don't sort of struggle and mess that up and then come back later on when you realize you screwed up and it's too unfixable at that moment. So
I have to admit, this is the first time that I've actually done the exercise.
Yeah. There's no surprise, you know. I did it for myself. Years and years ago. And I was like, you know, and I met Neil, when I met Neil Strauss, I was like, Neil, check this out, dude. Cause I was like, this is really exciting. So I said, check this out, man. I showed him, it was on the board. I was like, this is the next level. This is the next stage after seduction, you know? And he was like, cool. But he did not get it at all. Like I just didn't explain it. It doesn't seem like something that's that exciting or awesome until you actually go through the process of doing it. And you're like, oh my God, this could make a lot of sense. So here's what's really, really important. The reason why we get in fights in a relationship when you have one that breaks up a relationship is because one of these four different areas has shifted without communication, without sort of calling out the shift. Meaning one of the major ones that screws up a lot of guys is the value shift. a girl that he's dating will get a promotion or get famous for something, or he'll lose a job or get a, you know, get demoted, or someone else will get promoted instead of him, and he'll feel like people don't need him very much, and that ends up ruining the relationship. Another one that ends up happening is the major power shift in the relationship. He stops making decisions. He stops taking control, and she begins to make all the decisions, and it, you end up swapping those different positions. So what happens here is, over time, these different points for yourself and for other people will shift. What I'd like for you to do is, if you had it your way, and just kind of keep this in mind, if you had it your way and you could be anywhere you wanted on this scale, on the value scale, where would you be? And if you put that down the first time, then put where you believe you are right now. So let's say that where you really want to be is to the far right-hand side of that value scale, meaning that lots of other people need you and you're very revered and respected. And then you marked where you are right now on this map, right? On the value map. How far away is that from where you want to go? In fact, even more importantly, how close to where you wanted your girl to be, your ideal woman to be, how close to that space are you right now? And what you want to do is you want to notice and recognize sort of clearly in front of you that you have certain areas of growth to do before you're going to be able to be in a long-term relationship. A healthy one, at least. You want to make sure that you reach these areas into your ideal self, where your priorities are actually where you map them out to be, where your leadership abilities and your leadership role in your life in general is where you want to be in, with your relationship when you get in one, where your value outside your relationship is where you want it to be, ideally, and then where your investment, not just into your relationship with the girl, but your investment into everything else in your life, your passions, your hobbies, things like that, are exactly where you want them to be as well. Neediness is the last thing you're going to put together, because that typically involves someone else regardless of where you are, you know, that investment process. But everything else, you can map out compliance, power, and value. You can map out directly, and you can go, okay, where do I need to improve the most, and how do I focus on that? If your value is really low, you need to work on that. You need to, if you need to have your value be really high, and you need the girl that you're with, you want her value to be a little bit lower than you, but not too low, then you need to make sure that you are in that position so you can meet those kinds of women. This is like, it's super obvious once you look at it, but it's not that obvious if you don't do this exercise. You know, you really have to come to terms with where you need to actually change yourself so that you can be the kind of person you need to be in order to be in these relationships that you need to get into, your ideal relationship. Because again, at the end of the day, you're not going to settle for anything less than perfect. So you need your ideal relationship, you know? I want you to mark yourself down where you currently are right now, and make sure you separate that. You can do that by putting a vertical line up and down, just a little tiny line anywhere on those, any of these lines where you think you are right now, and map out the difference of where you have to go. Until you get to where you need to go, you are not ready for a long-term relationship. Not an exclusive one, at least. You're perfectly ready for polyamory, but you're not ready yet for an exclusive long-term relationship. Now, if you're currently in a relationship or you're about to get in one, then what you can do is communicate this to your partner. If you don't feel like you're where you need to be and you meet the woman of your dreams, then they need to help you get there. This is very important. So what you essentially do when you first meet somebody and you go through the process, you have sex or you hook up, whatever, and you're like, I really dig this girl and I'm going to be with her and only her. Only her, you know. If you decide that you're going to be with her and only her, then you're going to look at this and go, okay, well, I'm not where I need to be yet. Or if you are, then great, you know, map her out as well. If you're not where you need to be yet, you need to tell her, look, I'm not where I need to be yet, and this is where I really want to be. So I need you to help me get there and support me during this process. If she's not willing to do that, you can't be exclusive with her, period. That won't work, because she'll end up holding you back. And that obviously is not good. So instead, you need to involve her during that process, during that sort of growth process. I really wish that I could explain how important this is, for an interaction, for a relationship, to keep it actually working. But it's not easy to explain until you're actually in a relationship. So once you're in there, I think I just got a question from someone who's about to ask, who asked what I'm about to say. Let me see here. Okay, yeah, I'll go over that in a minute. So once you're in a relationship, say that you're in one now, and you are where you need to be, and she's where she needs to be in the relationship, then you're constantly going to be monitoring where everything is, essentially. Where she is, where you are, and when something happens, you need to mark out where that changed stuff and how it shifted. And that's really, really important. Just one second, Brad. I had a little glitch here. Let me fix it real quick, okay? One second.
Okay.
That, cool. Just a little video thing, or not video, but a recorder thing. Cool. So what you want to do then is note what is actually changing. Now, I'm going to give you a little tool here that's going to let you see into the sort of secret, sort of lift the curtain and see the secret behind what's actually happening whenever you're feeling this weirdness in your relationship that can be causing a lot of problems. And that is, compliance and power are both related, and value and neediness are related. What we always notice as men is we notice the shift in neediness, and we notice the shift in compliance. But we never notice the shift in power and value. Anytime you notice that a girl's asking you to do a whole bunch of crap that you don't want to do in your relationship, and she's being really bossy, that's because there's been a shift in power, leadership. Usually because you are not taking that that leader-based role anymore. You know? Value, and when you see a shift in neediness, rather, and you see that she's either aloof and not interested or not like investing anymore, or you see that she gets super, super needy all of a sudden, or you get really needy all of a sudden, or you feel, you know, not invested whatsoever, then that means that some value has just shifted in the relationship. Typically, the person who has the most value is the least needy. And typically, the person who has the least value is the most needy in the relationship. So anytime you recognize neediness or compliance having shifted, that means you need to address power and value. Now, let me tell you how you do that. It's really simple, but most guys don't do this. If you recognize there's a lot of extra compliance, you need then to begin to take charge of making decisions. Not try to put your priorities above hers or anything. Not try to force that in. But you want to take charge of making decisions. And with neediness, if you notice a shift in neediness, you want then to talk about a shift in value. Now, this is really simple. It can be really easy to do, but most guys, just like I said, just don't do it. So you'll have, let's say, for example, you get a promotion, and all of a sudden, the girl you're dating gets really needy, right? Instead of going, okay, well, you know, I've got a, you know, you're being too needy, you need to stop doing that, you're really crowding me, that kind of stuff. Instead, go, look, I know I got this promotion, but I want you to know it's for us. And this is, I feel like it's a win for the both of us, and I really need your support, and I couldn't have done it without you. That tiny statement then solidifies everything on your map, on your relationship balance scale, and it makes everything copacetic. It's all good. If you don't do that, then everyone's blind, the both of you are blind to the shift, and you begin to attack the symptom and not the problem. And this allows it to sort of stagnate and to get graphic, sort of gangrenous, you know, and infect the rest of your relationship to the point where it ends. That is the most important thing to know about this values or this relationship balance scale. I'm going to go into a few questions here, and then I'm going to end the call because we've been on it for a while already, you know, this is a really deep topic, and I'm going to get into a lot more detail in the next couple of weeks here as well. I got a question from DL. DL is, this is sort of a little bit non-related question. He says he met a girl online, and he said that she's what's called an explorer. The explorer is one of the four different types of women in a system called the avatars. And the explorer is a girl who is the most sort of flaky or aloof, and also some of the most desirable women are the explorers as well. So she's very extroverted and needs to have a lot of options. And that's what the explorer is. So that means that she's really sensitive to being locked down to anything. So that's what, why he mentioned that. He says he's going to meet up with her in Atlanta, because I guess that's where she lives. He met her online. And he built rapport with her over the phone, which I have a problem with already, but that's okay. Built rapport with her over the phone. And then and he's just kind of curious about what he should do when he meets up with her in order to sort of make sure she's comfortable. Now, the first thing he said, he says, oh, he's built a rapport with her over the phone. This is the most important process. If you build rapport over the phone, you're trading. You're trading the attraction for a non-physical based rapport. Now, this is important because a lot of guys don't know how to sustain attraction over a long period of time. And so they build rapport in order to solidify that attraction. They don't even know they're doing this. They just kind of do it. But the problem is, if you do it over the phone, you cannot be physical with this girl. And so, DL, you have a sort of a lot of backpedaling to do when you meet up with her. You're going to have to really be lighthearted and fun, and you're going to have to really bounce from place to place and meet a lot of people and be sort of bubbly and not really pay too much attention to her until you're both alone. You know, you don't want to get her into like a deep, deep sort of date-like scenario where she feels like she's trapped. Instead, you have to, she has to feel like you're there. You know, she typically would want you to have a lot of value outside the relationship, like a lot of people needing you. You need to demonstrate your value a lot. You need to meet bartenders and stuff ahead of time. You need to sort of just be as social as you possibly can be and ask a lot of questions of a lot of people and introduce her to a lot of people when you get there. And you're going to be having conversations with her, but not talking to her. As in, the two of you will be having a conversation with somebody else. And you'll sort of integrate her into a group and be sort of lighthearted and fun. She needs to see you talking to other women too. This is not normal for most different types of the avatars, but the explorer needs to see that. She needs to see that other women are interested in you, and then she needs to see that you chose her after at the end of the evening. So that's what I would do when you get there. He says you just wanted to know what she wants. She basically said that she wanted to be seduced and to surrender. But there's a lot of pressure around that. She was sort of opening up to you. But if you don't seduce her and let her surrender in a way that is sort of hidden, in a way that's not like super obvious and there's pressure around it, she'll feel trapped already, like she has to respond positively. You don't want to tell her that you're going to seduce her. You don't want to tell her any of that stuff. You just want her to show up, be really flirty with her, be open with a lot of other people, and then as soon as you get her alone, immediately switch over to seduction. That's what you want to do. That's when she wants you to sort of seduce her and have her self-surrender. The next question is from Phil. It says, when's the best time for a guy to emote and sort of drop the logic? The best time for you to emote is, and by the way, dropping the logic I want to be very clear with this. Whenever you're building an emotional rapport and connection with a woman, you're going to be switching from your logical brain to your emotional brain relatively quickly because you'll be in a relationship, and it's something that you develop over time. It's sort of a more advanced technique. So if you are dropping the logic and you're going to be more emotional, you have to do it whenever it's a safe environment for her. So you don't want to do this whenever she's freaking out. If she's having a really rough time, you know, you don't want to you can show vulnerability, but you don't want to lose control over your vulnerability and say, look, you know, I don't know what to do, I'm scared, blah, 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 unless it's actually true, of course, and you have nothing to, you know, you don't want to lie, obviously, in this situation. So the best time to emote is whenever she needs to make a connection with you. And the way you can tell if she needs to make a connection with you is that she keeps asking you questions. She'll keep asking you specific, like, tell me about your past, tell me about when you're a kid, tell me about your family, that kind of stuff. And she needs to make that connection with you. And whenever that happens, then you can drop the logic and you can be emotional, and you can build that rapport. There will be times in which you will both be emotional, but that's an advanced technique, and I don't want to get into that right now because I don't want to, anyone to confuse it. Last question I got here that I'm going to cover today is from Jonathan. He says, can you explain how the dynamics change once you're in a relationship? Like, who's chasing who? Do you continue to flip the script all the time? When do you challenge or tease her, and when can you sort of hold her and tell her how much you like her or love her, in whichever case? So, whenever, here's what I do for me, and this is different for everybody. And again, this Jonathan's a great question. I'm probably going to have to go into this a lot more in the next call, because I could probably talk all day about this, at least for an entire founding members call about this. Whenever you get into a relationship, the major change in dynamics is that it's more of a flow, like I said, from one stage to another, and you're balancing how much each one has. So if you haven't had rapport in a week, but you've had lots of sex and lots of banter, you need to go into rapport. So whatever is lacking the most, you need to do. So you need to keep this like this sort of like this like checks and balances system, where you're going, well, I've been really serious lately, and I've been having a lot of sex, but I haven't been really playful and fun. Then you need to, you know, set up a moment where you can be playful and fun. If you've been playful and you've been building rapport, but you haven't been having sex, then you need to make sure you actually have sex with her. Like, you know, it may sound kind of crazy for me to bring that up, but a lot of guys will get into a relationship where they just stop having sex. This is what they do, you know? And if you don't want to, you lose your sex drive, whatever, it's your duty to find a way around that, to fix that problem, to boost your sex drive. You have to do it. So for you, you have to always constantly work on the one and experience the one that you feel is lacking the most. So you want to constantly do that. Get used to thinking about that. Get used to always keeping a check on that and making sure that it's always happening and working. Because a lot of guys don't do that. And obviously that's the end of a lot of relationships. You are, as far as chasing goes, neither of you are chasing each other anymore, unless it's sexual. In which case, that's a role play, and you can choose to chase her or she can choose to chase you, whichever one you want. I would switch that up every once in a while so that you can have fun with it. The next question, statement on here is, do you continue to flip the script all the time? No, you don't continue to flip the script all the time. Anytime that you're being lighthearted and fun, you can flip the script. As soon as you go into rapport or seduction, you don't flip the script anymore. You don't. And by the way, flipping the script is where you sort of say stuff that you think she would normally say, sort of objections that she would say, like, don't try to seduce me tonight, you know, it won't work, that kind of stuff. That you would think she would say to you, but you say them to her first. That's called flipping the script. It makes it seem as though you're filtering her out. But you don't do that once you've gone past that sex phase with a girl. Not unless you're being playful in the banter phase, you can do that. Once you're in rapport, though, you do not do it. All the rules of rapport, seduction, and attraction still hold. You're just going to be only experiencing them one at a time and not in the same order anymore. They can be kind of in random order. Finally, the question you had here is, when do you sort of challenge and tease her, and when do you hold her and tell her how much you like her? Again, this sort of is all depending upon which one is lacking the most, you know? You can challenge and tease her as a default whenever you know that there's enough rapport in the relationship. If you're lacking rapport, though, and you want to build it up and make that connection, then you have to spend time on that rapport. And I mean, you may have to go, look, tonight I just want to spend time with just you, and I want to just talk to you and hang out and, you know, just be close to with you, and that's it, right? You have to say that and then make time for it and actually make it happen. And that's just what you got to do if that's the case. So keep that in mind. And again, it's all about choosing the right moment and choosing the right thing to do at the right moment, and making sure that you're staying on top of what is lacking the most, and then making sure you fulfill that. If you feel like the lighthearted banterness of your relationship is starting to die, you need to be playful. You know, you have to do that. Keep things light and be social. If you feel like the rapport is starting to die, you have to make that connection. If you feel like the sex is starting to die, you have to build that sex up. At any time that you do one, another one is going to sort of fall to the wayside because you're not paying attention to it. So you're always going to be constantly going back and forth with these three different areas in your relationship and making sure that you touch on all of them and that you are sort of boosting up every single one of them one after another to make sure that you're on top of them and they're all balanced. I saw a couple people just showed up at the very end of this call. I don't know why that happened, but if you did, we're going to be releasing this recording shortly here, maybe even tonight if we can. But if we can't, no worries. It'll be tomorrow or very soon. In the founding members area, we'll send out an email letting you know too. Check it out and listen to the whole thing if you missed anything. If you have any questions, again, continuing down this, Brad's going to go ahead and make that button in the founding members area section of your, what tab was that? The product library tab in the members area. So if you go in the members area, click on product library, you can find the founding members downloads page. And on that page, you'll see a button at the top. You can click to ask your next questions for the next call. So Brad will go ahead and get that set up. And you guys can go ahead and ask those questions if you have anything. Anything comes to you after this call. Until then, thank you so much for being here. Sorry, this has been kind of a hectic time here. My microphone didn't work in the beginning, so I had to restart the recording here. But thanks for bearing with me. I have a whole slew of technical issues just in general. Believe it or not, we're actually professional here. I know it doesn't sound like it, but we are. So thanks so much, guys, for hanging out here and chat with me about this. If you have any other questions at all, like I said, please don't hesitate to bring them up. Over the next next month, we are going to be covering this in a lot greater detail, and I'm going to teach you how to sort of master this area of being in a solid relationship forever with the person that you really want to be with. I got one last question here. It's really quick. So it says, in relationship balance, do you always need to go through attraction before seduction? In relationship balance, you've already gone through attraction. Let me just clear this up for everybody. Attraction, poor seduction. You have to do those in order until you do them once all the way through. Once you've gone through seduction all the way through from attraction to rapport to seduction, then it's no longer in order. After that, you're going to be bouncing around. You don't have to do them in any particular order. You have to do what's lacking the most. Keep that in mind. So anyway, guys, thanks for the call. Thanks for being here. I'll see you next week. Brad is going to add the times we sort of haven't put on the calendar these next calls coming up, but we have one next week, which is let me just look at this, is the 10th. So look out for that on the 10th, and then we're going to have another one on the 24th as well. So the 10th and the 24th are going to be our next two founding members calls. Thank you guys again. I appreciate you hanging out, and thanks for all the questions. And I look forward to the stuff I'm going to teach you in the next week and a couple weeks after that on the 24th is going to be mind-blowing. It's going to change the way you completely look at long-term relationships, not just that, but also polyamory and the women in your life in general. So it's a really advanced concept and a lot of advanced material. Look forward to teaching it to you guys, stay strong and stay awesome, and I'll talk to you then. Thanks, guys.